All right, welcome into the bullpen, your Wednesday edition. I'm your host, Ethan Chadwick.
And I'm Evan Hall.
And you're listening to KBLU 92.3 Logan, Utah. We're not officially FM, but we got to practice.
Yeah, we might as well.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, that was a fun morning show. And now we're going to give you your sports fix and get you warmed up for your sports of the week, or just sports anytime, really. Because sports is awesome.
Either way, you're stuck with us for the next hour.
Yeah, sports for life. But anyway, how was your weekend?
It was good. Nice and relaxing. That's kind of usually how I like weekends to go. I don't like to stuff my weekends with too many events, so it was good.
Well, yeah, I don't usually stuff mine with any events. Sometimes I'll do stuff, but most of the time it's not like that full or anything. But yeah, so I don't know if you caught the show that we had on Monday, but it was mostly about soccer. So
yeah, you no, did? I little bit of it. Friends with one of the guys that hosts that, and so I know he knows a lot about soccer. So I think it was a good move to bring him in.
Yeah, it was good. I'm excited to talk next week because they're gonna talk about a couple Real Salt Lake games, which I need to go to one at some point. But yeah. Anyway, I want to dive in right now with our Wall of Shame. I figure we'll start with that each week because it's fun. It's fun. And then we can dive into kind of some bigger issues. But I guess to start out, I'll do a couple and then you can do yours and then I'll do my other ones because I've got four today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, way more than I've got.
Yeah, so anyway, and these are actually all, well, three of the four are related to the NBA Finals. The first one is Draymond Green gets an entry into the Wall of Shame because, once again, he hit someone below the belt.
Amen.
Like, he's been ridiculous, and, you know, people were upset and saying that the only reason why he got suspended was to prolong the NBA Finals, which could be true, but really, I think it was just because this is like the fifth time during these playoffs that he's like hit someone below the belt. It's just been out of control. And I thought he deserved a suspension against Oklahoma City. And I think if they had actually done that, then Oklahoma City would be in the finals right now instead of them. And there's kind of thoughts that that's why he didn't get suspended, because they wanted to prolong that series and maybe even help the Warriors to win. Because I don't know if we talked about this last time, but on the NBA's official Facebook page, this is one I did by myself a week ago. They had moved, they do the schedule for like the upcoming games. And before game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, they had already put in the finals, they had Cleveland versus Golden State. And that was before they had won the game. Like, they had it, like, locked in. They were saying something about it being a placeholder or whatever, but you would put both on there, OKC / Golden State or whatever. And they had just Golden State. So it kind of, you know, makes it look like it might have been rigged. I don't know if I believe that it was, but for anyone that has that conspiracy theory, there's fuel for the fire. But Draymond Green, definitely, he gets an entrance to the Wall of Shame for once again hitting below the belt.
Yeah. Crotch shots are a no-go.
Seriously. I mean, it's ridiculous to begin with. It's very, you know, it's unethical from just a man-to-man standpoint. Like, you don't do that.
You don't go there. You would rather lose a fight than go there.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Unless it was life or death. And then I can understand it. But just like a fight, yeah, probably not. But during a basketball game, and like I said, this is like the fourth or fifth time that he's done it. He hit Steven Adams in like every game of that series. He hit him in the groin. And LeBron got tangled up or whatever, and he fell down. LeBron just like was going over top of him because it was the quickest way to get to where he was gonna go. And he like hits him as he's going past him. And it was pretty ridiculous. And then apparently LeBron wasn't so much upset with that as he was how Draymond Green was, you know, comporting himself in his speech, because he called LeBron a B word. I would just say it, except that we're on the air and I can't.
Yeah.
But yeah, he called him that, and LeBron was kind of upset about that because he just feels like it's very unsportsmanlike. He's like, I'm all fine with trash talk, but I mean, he felt like he took it too far. And then Klay Thompson goes, and he, during a press conference, he was saying that LeBron must have gotten his feelings hurt, being very patronizing. And yeah, and so he gets an entry into the Wall of Shame for that, Klay Thompson does. Because it's like, really, you're gonna say that you're basically trying to minimize the most talented player in the game. Steph Curry's a better scorer, but LeBron's an all-around player. He's the best player in basketball right now. And you're going to go and say, pull that. And LeBron just kind of laughed it off. But Klay gets an entrance into the Wall of Shame for that. So let's hear yours.
Yeah, well, in honor of the end of hockey season, I'd like to put in the Wall of Shame the entire Montreal Canadiens team.
And why is that?
They started off the year, I believe it was 9-0, which was the greatest start in franchise history. And the last time they went 7-0, they won the Stanley Cup. And so you start out 9-0, pretty much unstoppable. Looks like they're going to be invincible, and then don't even make the playoffs. I feel that's a big shame. And in celebration of the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think you could probably throw in every Canadian team for not making the playoffs.
They didn't have any Canadian teams in the playoffs?
Not one Canadian team made the playoffs.
That's ridiculous.
Our neighbors to the north, they all get put into the Wall of Shame today.
That's awesome, because Canada is like always the best at hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously not all the Canadian players are playing on teams in Canada, but...
but not one. That's like seven hilarious teams up in Canada, and not one makes the playoffs. So I think the whole... We'll expand it from just the Montreal Canadiens to the whole... All seven teams.
All the Canadians. So. Not just the Montreal Canadians. Oh, yeah. All the Canadians. yeah, that's pretty terrible that not a single Canadian team got into the playoffs of hockey. I mean, that's what those guys live for. Like, that's their sport. That's like the only sport
that
they play.
Their whole country is crazy about it.
Yeah, so that's like the only sport that they play, and they can't get it there. that's funny. So my next one is related to the first one, and it's Stephen A. Smith from ESPN was upset that Draymond Green got suspended. It's like, he should have been suspended a while ago.
Yeah, because that's at least that's five groin shots at least. I mean, that's just the ones we know about.
Yeah.
So.
And he might have been doing more as well. So, I mean, it's just he's been out of control the entire playoffs, and yeah, they got him on one that maybe was – like less severe than the other ones, but it was also more of like an obvious like attempt to do it. Like the other ones, you can kind of argue that they may have been incidental, but not really.
Yeah, but I think with
but this is straight up like he just you saw him going for it.
Yeah.
So.
But like with Stephen A. Smith though, wasn't he saying that the Cavs were done?
It was
after game.
After four, game two.
Or two,
after game
two. He's saying the Cavs are done. So I think, I don't know if he's just trying to save face after.
Stephen A. Smith is ridiculous, in my opinion. Like, he sometimes says some really good stuff, but a lot of the times he just seems to be talking out of his ear. Like, or I don't even remember what the term is, but I think it's probably not appropriate to say on the air. Yeah, it's not. It's not. Talking out of his butt, but.
Him
but
or
yeah, like, yeah. He like always is saying these things like writing people off too early, and he really cheerleads a lot of times. Like right now, he's cheerleading for the Golden State Warriors, who don't really need it. They're a really good team.
Yeah.
But he's always doing stuff like that. So I feel like I think he's been on the Wall of Shame a couple of times, and I'm sure he'll be on there more. But my last entry into the Wall of Shame is there is this ball girl for like a college baseball game where they hit the ball and it landed fair, like just inside the baseline, and it went out. And I guess she thought that it was a foul ball, so she picked it up and threw it out into the stands and prevented them from making any kind of a play on it. So she gets an entry into the wall of shame for throwing a fair ball into the stands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's so funny because, like, they were just, I was watching this clip and she, like, didn't even seem to realize what she had done. Like, even after the fact, like, everyone was like, what are you doing or whatever? And she's just, like, sitting there, like, oh, yeah, like, I did my job.
Yeah. How do they not train ball boys and ball girls to recognize that if it's still hit the ground in the fair territory, just don't touch it, period.
Right?
I mean, I don't know. Because this happens, I feel like this happens quite a bit, at least on, you know, it gets replays on SportsCenter, but I don't know how they don't train.
I don't know either. I have no idea why they don't.
But it's worse when a player does it. Like, he'll catch it and it's only two outs and there's still runners on, and he tosses it up into the stands as like a souvenir because he thinks the inning's over. That's the only thing that's worse than that, I would say.
Oh, that's definitely worse, because you definitely should be paying attention. I can understand if you're a ball boy or girl and you kind of stop paying attention for a little bit, because, I mean, you're just, it's kind of boring at times because you're just sitting there for most of the game. But, yeah, I mean, when a player doesn't recognize what the situation is kind of terrible. But yeah, that's the wall of shame. Did you think of anything else or?
No.
All right. Well, I mean, we're gonna have some more on Friday.
Yeah.
You might have to dig for them because it's easier if you have a whole week to come up with them. But
yeah, I'm sure I'll have more by Friday.
But anyway, so that's the wall of shame. And speaking of college baseball, I want to transition in this. We talked a little bit about this after the show on Friday, but I wanted to kind of talk about it again over the air and maybe go a little bit deeper. But in your opinion, why do you think college baseball is not that popular?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. One, I think there's a scheduling issue because you still have part of the season and playoff games in the summer. And so students aren't on campus. They're probably not going to go to the games. So I think part of it's scheduling. The other thing I would say is that baseball is one of those sports that if you're a standout in college, you're probably still going to spend some time in the minors.
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily like college football or basketball, where if you become first pick, you're probably playing that next year. Whereas in college, you could be number one pick and still spend a good few years in the minors working up. So I think those are probably two of the biggest reasons.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Also, at the same time, like, I think that even despite the scheduling, like, there's not really that much popularity with people, like, just regular people. Obviously, it's a bigger deal for, like, college if your student body's there, but also it does. I don't know that I feel like a lot of people outside of it follow it anyway. I don't really know why. I think a lot of it is, like, maybe a lot of the guys that maybe would have been playing college baseball are in the minor leagues already instead of playing college baseball. I don't know how frequent that is, but I know that people get drafted right out of high school.
Yeah.
And so some of them might prefer to just go minors instead of playing college.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot more, where you just go straight from high school to college. And another thing, I wonder if aluminum bats might have something to do with that. I know that sounds weird, but
do they use those in college?
Yeah, they still use those in college, yeah. I believe. And so, I don't know.
Weird.
I just think they would
just use wood.
Yeah,
like aluminum is like a softball thing
of the game, you know.
Yeah, like aluminum, it's like a softball thing for me, anyway. Also, I just thought about this. This isn't necessarily related to why college baseball isn't that popular, but instead of going to the minors, like, it would be better to play at college because, I mean, the atmosphere is awesome when you're at a school that really likes baseball. For example, Texas A&M, whenever the opposing pitcher, like, walks a player on four balls, they start chanting, ball five, ball five, ball five. And it, like, can really get in your head, and then they throw another ball. You say, ball six, ball six. Because they're, like, trying to call you, say, like, throw another ball. Because I was watching this video on Facebook this week, and that's what they do. They just keep going. One time, I guess, a guy threw 11 balls in a row afterwards. Or maybe it was including the ball, like the walk. And finally, it might even have been more, but the batter ended up hitting like a double, like a two run double that like ended the game. And so, yeah, it was like awesome traditions like that are why I love college sports. Oh, but yeah. I mean, yeah. I felt bad for the kid because like it was so loud. There's no way you're not hearing it. Because, yeah. Like, everyone from Texas A&M was – they were playing against TCU on this video that I watched. And they just were getting really loud, and it ended up getting to, like, ball 9, I think, jeez, before he finally threw a strike. Because it's, like, all in his – it's, like, it's in his head that he's going to throw a ball. And so he just kept doing it. So I think that, you know, college baseball should be more popular. And I think part of it is just stems from – now, baseball not being as big of a sport as football and basketball in the country, it's like it's really lost a lot of popularity. I know that there are still like a lot of people that do really like baseball, but I feel like there's a lot of people that just don't even follow it. And the fan base was a lot bigger back, you know, a few like 10 years ago or whatever, and it's just kind of going down. And even you kind of wonder. Yeah, you know, we've got all these great athletes that play football and basketball, but there's only like a few like really elite athletic players in baseball. A lot of them are really good at hitting and stuff. They're really good at playing baseball, but they're not necessarily like uber athletic. And that's one thing that I think maybe like if there was a way that we could get more of our really athletic players that maybe aren't first string on football or basketball and get them to play baseball. And soccer, I think that those, like the game would be more exciting, and I think that it would become more popular, because like most of the players that play in the MLB now, well maybe not most, but like a lot of them come from other countries, and so it's not really so much of an American dominated thing anymore.
Yeah, and I think just with like player development, you see how big the minor leagues are for baseball, and I think it takes, for whatever reason, just takes more time to really develop a great baseball player just from looking at it. I mean, I think another thing though, with college ball, a lot of these good teams are coming from the South, where their school's football team is king, yeah. Or for schools like North Carolina, it's the basketball team.
Yeah,
and so I think a lot of the good schools in baseball get overshadowed by their other teams as well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are coming from the South, so you've got SEC football that really takes a lot of spotlight. And
yeah, but even like with Texas A&M, they're really big into football. Like, they're all about football. But even still, like, they have a great baseball, yeah, like, environment as well, which I didn't know about until just barely, but
yeah.
You know, apparently it's been a tradition for a while that they do that whole thing with the ball, with the balls and with the balls. But no, and even like with that, they had tons of people at their games.
Yeah.
So that was good. And for us, I mean, our baseball team is a club team, and they're even like they don't even play in Logan. They play up in Smithfield. So it's like a little bit away from the school itself. So it's hard to have that kind of like campus environment when you're so far from campus.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, at least with schools like Texas A&M where they've got a great baseball fan base, if you're an opposing player coming into that stadium, people are much closer to you than at minor league or major league stadiums. I mean, people are right there. So if they're all,
yeah,
getting into your head, they're like right next to you too, which,
yeah,
could probably make college baseball a lot of fun is with those traditions, you know, because they're right next to you. It's, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of like going to the Spectrum here when,
yeah,
it was a really good game. Cause you know, the student section is right next to the opposing, yeah,
right,
coach,
on top,
you know,
of it.
So I think that makes any sporting event really fun. You know?
Yeah. And yeah, that's like why I came here. It's because of the environment at basketball games and because our basketball team was good. But
yeah,
I mean, so it's always great to have that kind of environment, being right on top of the opposing team. Like, even with our football team, I feel like we do a good job of making like kind of a hostile environment for other teams and kind of give that boost to our home team. And even without that, our baseball team has done awesome. Like, they've won 2 national championships in the last 5 years.
Yeah, they're legit.
So. Yeah, they're really good, and they're always like top 10 in the country for the like club teams.
Yeah.
Which, most, like, lots of schools are club, like, rather than, like, school-sponsored.
Yeah.
But, like, they do a great job, and I wish that they could, like, use a field that was closer, like, and even if the school could pay for it. I mean, obviously, they're not going to want to pay for it if they're not paying for the team. I think it would be good.
I think hockey here is a lot like that, because we've got a good club hockey team that gets people from around the country to come play for us. So, I think with the club sports, it's all funding. I think there's some funding rules with being a club sport that make it difficult to build a closer stadium.
Yeah, I mean, because they can't afford to make a stadium.
Yeah, they don't get that much money from the school anyway.
So. Yeah, so I haven't actually been to the field over in Smithfield, but I imagine that there's not much seating, so it'd be hard to even create an environment. So it's basically, there's not much of a home field advantage other than you don't have to travel.
Yeah.
So I mean, ideally, they would have a nice baseball field. Like, our softball field looks pretty nice. There's not, like, a ton of seats, but people don't really go to women's sports. So, I mean, it's to be expected that there's not a ton of seats. But it would be awesome if we had a baseball field as well that had a decent amount of seating. But we don't. It'd be nice if we did. But I feel like, at the very least, if we had some place where they could play that was closer, that it would work out better. But they don't.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. But another thing that I want to talk about was All-Star Games. And I guess you were talking about how there's stuff that was wrong with the MLB All-Star Game. Do you want to tell everyone about that?
Yeah, so I just remember this from last year when, you know, the Royals had like 8 players at one point leading All-Star voting. And I think a part of the problem was it was online, and you could vote multiple times. And so you could, like, it's kind of a virtual ballot stuffing in a sense. And so I think it just raised a lot of questions about, is this the best way we should be picking our All-Stars if it's just fans obviously voting for their own team players instead of being a little bit more objective about it, you know? Because it's like, obviously the Royals had a great year last year, but 8 players to lead an All-Star game, it's really just fans voting for their own team.
So. Yeah, and even they have had a lot of really good players, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
They won the World Series. But the thing about it is, like, they have this problem across the sports. Mostly, like, whenever fans get to decide who the All-Stars are, this happens. And it's really bad in basketball because, whoever is popular in China is voted in as a starter. Like, Yao Ming was a decent center, but he wasn't elite. He wasn't, like, excellent.
Yeah.
But every year he had more votes than anybody because everyone in China votes for him. And same with Kobe Bryant. I mean, Kobe Bryant obviously was great for years and years and years. But on years, like, when he was injured, he played, like, 10 games and was injured the rest of the season, and he still got more votes than anybody. It's because he's popular in China, and he still gets voted in as a starter for the All-Star game. Despite not having great numbers the last couple of years, he still got the vote. It's just ridiculous, in my opinion. You have people like Tracy McGrady, who was coming off the bench and not even playing significant minutes. He was playing like maybe 10 minutes a game, and he was voted in as an All-Star starter because he's popular in China. And this happens all the time with guys. It's about how popular they are, not about how good they are. And it's really quite frustrating because the fans control who gets to go to the All-Star game, and it really needs to change. It's great to give fans the opportunity to put input in, like maybe give them a few votes, but not to the deciding, like, exactly like how many votes they're going to get.
Or unlimited voting.
Yeah.
Like, if you've already placed your ballot,
like you get like
be able to hit refresh and just do the same thing 100 times for your players. Yeah.
But even with that, like, it's the same thing with people in China. Like, everyone there could just vote once, and
yeah.
it would still be, like, a billion. Well, I mean, probably not that many follow basketball, but you'd get a couple, several million for sure. And that would significantly sway the vote whenever it happens. So I feel like they should have, the coaches should probably vote on the players because, you know, they know who's, like, the toughest guys who they have to focus on every night.
Yeah.
And so they should vote and then just maybe have 2 votes or 5 votes even for fans that like are weighted based on how much, like what percentage of the vote you got and stuff. So,
yeah, I wonder if, like with all American teams for college football, is that a coaching or sports writers?
Yeah, I think that it's usually the Associated Press does those.
Because I wonder if like something like that should be instituted for other sports. Like if you're a sports writer, you know. Because like for the Hall of Fame in baseball, it's the sports writers that vote the guys in. You know, so I wonder if the All-Star game, it should be like either coaches or sports writers that really get kind of the heavy, more weighted vote on this. Yeah.
I really feel like it's got to be the coaches because the coaches know better than anyone, like, how good players are. Because really, I mean, they have to game plan to try to beat other teams, and so they have to know who they have to focus on and what they need to do to try to stop them. And, yeah, sports writers, like, they would have a lot of knowledge, but I feel like the coaches would have more of a knowledge. And even sports writers sometimes could be biased. I mean, coaches could be too, but I think that they recognize who's the best and they'll vote for them. And maybe it could be a combination of the two. That might be a better option than because most of the time they'll agree. If you look at college football polls, like for the top 25, you have the coaches poll, you have the AP poll, and then you have also like now you have the playoff committee's poll that comes out about mid-season, like they start doing it. But like those, like the players or the coaches poll and the AP poll, they are almost always like identical, but sometimes there's a little bit of a discrepancy. So I think that maybe combining the two for like all-star voting and stuff would be really good. It'd be really beneficial because it would give the guys who deserve it the honor. And also one thing that I really don't like about all-star games is kind of how there's, you know, it's not the guys that are new, like it's like their first time at All-Star games, don't really get to play very much. At least in basketball. I haven't really paid attention to the MLB All-Star game in years, but but I know at the NBA, like if it's your first year in the All-Star game, like you don't get to play hardly at all. And it's like they give it to the guys who have been there several times, and it just doesn't make sense to me. It's like it's an all-star game. You should just play everyone probably about equally because everyone got voted in. Maybe a little bit more for the ones who are starters because they got more votes or whatever.
Well, and I think also for pretty much all of the all-star games, nobody's really playing their hardest for this one game. I mean,
definitely not defensively.
Only in the MLB is there anything really at stake, and that's just the World Series home advantage.
Yeah, which could be big.
Which could be big, depending on if you're an all-star from a team that could actually make it. You know?
Yeah.
So I think,
and if you're not, you don't really care.
Yeah, and so that's kind of the problem with a lot of these all-star games is that the MLB's all-star game is the only one where there's something really to take away.
Yeah.
Other than it just being kind of a fun event.
Yeah, and at the same time, the thing about the MLB all-star game is there's not contact. Hardly ever. I mean, in baseball, like, you don't really have collisions with each other, whereas that happens a lot in football and even basketball. Like, you can have collisions. You got a lot of contact, but not necessarily a ton of collisions. But there's a lot higher risk of getting injured in these games if you're in basketball or football. And so a lot of guys will kind of go easy on it because of that, too. So that is another benefit for baseball, is that they can really kind of play as hard as they want and not really have to worry about injury.
Yeah, and the pitchers go for, like, one inning each. And so
they don't have to worry about them getting tired.
Or, like, ruining their arm by overplaying on one game, you know?
Yeah. And so that's another benefit that the MLB has. Even, like, for the NBA All-Star game, if they equalize the minutes, they wouldn't really have to worry about being worn out either. But, yeah, it's kind of a little bit messed up. with the NFL, the Pro Bowl is a joke. And I'm glad that they're switching back to, you know, AFC versus NFC, because they were doing this thing the last couple of years where they would just, like, do a draft. They'd have everyone that was voted in, and it wouldn't matter what conference you were from. They would just basically pick teams. Like, they'd have two guys that would be your coaches, and they would pick teams. So it was basically, like, you know, on the playground. I pick you, and I pick you. And so it wasn't a very good method, because obviously these guys aren't going to play super hard, because, you know, sometimes, like, they get injured. Like, for example, tight end from Cincinnati Bengals. It's not Ertz. I'm blanking on his name right now, but he ended up getting injured in the game, and that's something that, you know, you kind of worry about. Like, the plus side, it's after the season, but at the same time, you don't want to have something that messes up your off season because of that. But yeah. I mean, for football, it's kind of tough.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're gonna make it more effective, more. I don't know the word I'm looking for, but
yeah.
To make it better.
Yeah.
But something's got to change for it. The voting itself, I think it's based on players and coaches, so I think that works. I think their format for picking people is pretty good, but the NBA is a joke.
Yeah, and I think the NHL had a similar problem to what the NFL was trying to do for a few years with having, like, these different teams. Because for all, it was East versus West, and then it was, like, North America versus Europe, basically. And so they went back to East to West for a little bit. And then I think this year they tried, it was like, in the last few years they've been doing that, like, draft. Like, there's a captain for each team and they just draft. And this year they did, like, a four-team, it was like 3-on-3 tournament. It was like this really weird thing. It wasn't like one game. It was like this mini tournament. And I don't know. It's just, they can't really settle on teams to play in the NHL All-Star game. And so it just makes it confusing, because it was like last year, North America versus Europe, and now it's this weird format, and they can't decide on it. So it's like, why vote? Because you're not going to – they're just going to change the format every year, you know?
Yeah, and I'm all for, like, having, like, different, like, things like that, where it's just like a fun, like, event – during the All-Star break or whatever. But I feel like they should play an actual game. One thing that kind of has also taken away from the Pro Bowl and the NFL is when players decide they don't want to play and cite that they have an injury or something, even if they don't. I mean, that's kind of taken away from it, too. But it's also just because of the way it's set up. They're likely to get injured because it's just kind of like screwing around instead of, you know, actually being organized and trying to do an actual game. But you'll have, like, guys who... Well, I mean, at the same time, it's also hard if your team goes to the AFC or NFC Championship, and then you have to turn around the next week and try to play in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Because if your team's going on to the Super Bowl, there's no way you're going to risk.
Well, yeah, no, the Super Bowl teams, like, the players from there don't participate. Yeah, It used to be like they would when it was after the Super Bowl, but now they have it in the week that's between the championship games and the Super Bowl, the conference championships and the Super Bowl. But yeah, like it used to be after the Super Bowl, like a week or a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But even at that, it's kind of, I think it works better to put it in the, like in the gap between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. But at the same time, like you also limit, like who's going to want to participate and who's going to participate, because some of the best players are going to be on the Super Bowl teams.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have them. The teams that go to the AFC Championship or AFC or NFC Championships, they also have some of the best players, but they're not going to want to play again right after they lost the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. And especially because they're going to be tired because they've had this really long season. Depending on if they were on the wild card or not, they may have only had one bye week over the course of 19 weeks. And so they're going to be exhausted and be worn down.
Well, yeah, and it's like they're not in the mood. I mean, you get that close to the Super Bowl and you don't make it. You know, nobody cares about – they wouldn't care about the Pro Bowl. They're just worried about that Super Bowl they didn't get a chance to play in.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that for that, I think it would be better to, like, do it 2 weeks after the Super Bowl or maybe even 3 weeks. And maybe, like – and that would be just, like, the last thing – before you hit the off season, just kind of like a last hurrah thing, like celebrating the season that these guys had, and people would have rest, and so they might be more willing to play. Because when you play that much, you're more likely to get injured because of fatigue, and it could also be a thing where they decide to, or they can put it like halfway between the end of the season and the draft, like. They could do it at the end of February, beginning of April, because the draft is at the end of April.
Yeah.
And just kind of split the difference, and that would keep football more relevant.
Yeah.
With all the other sports, they play at mid-season, so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just kind of interesting.
What about...
go ahead.
Because I know college football has kind of an all-star.
They have senior bowls.
Yeah.
And those are after the season, and those are more.
I don't think any other sport in college really does that, do they?
I don't think so. I don't think that they do. But that's more of like a draft preparation to kind of like show themselves off for the draft.
Because that kind of makes it interesting if you're gonna put all the greatest college players in one field for a day.
At least the seniors, yeah.
Yeah, because there's actually something to, they're trying to impress the draft. The teams that are going to try and draft them. So, I mean, I think that keeps it interesting. So there's at least something, there's a little bit at stake, at least personally for them. So.
Yeah. I also kind of feel like it would be better for every sport to have the All-Star game after the season, because when you do it in the middle of the season, maybe you don't get the guy that played really well the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And with baseball, it's tougher because, it's by the time the season's over, it's almost getting too cold to play baseball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, they could find a warm weather place. So that also kind of limits that. I just talked myself out of saying that it was a problem.
Well, plus there's all the guys who just explode during the playoffs.
Yeah.
Guys you don't see coming in, they just have a great guys get traded.
Yeah. And they do better off in a different team, different system.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really think that they should do all these things after the season, because you're going to be tired, but if you get invited to go to the All-Star game, like, it'd be awesome. Like, I think it works all right for the NBA because they have like a whole week that they're off. It's kind of like their spring break sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think that kind of works out for them, but I think that would be better because there's all these times that players just explode in the second half of the season and they don't get any recognition.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where when you trade someone away and then someone suddenly plays a lot better, or the person who got traded to a different team plays a lot better because the system works better for them.
Yeah. But I think, though, what's kind of helped All-Star games in a lot of sports now is the events around it.
Yeah.
Like MLB, you've got the Home Run Derby. NBA has the slam dunk contest and three-point contest.
Yeah.
So I think that at least gives it almost like a funner, almost carnival atmosphere, because people are coming in and there's all this other stuff. Even if you're not going to the game, you can at least see skills competitions,
yeah,
which I think is cool.
Yeah, you know, I think that they're cool too,
because that's really showing the skill set of a player and just their raw ability.
Yeah, at the same time, with the slam dunk contest anyway, it's like, it's not necessarily the guys who are the best. I mean, it's just guys who are willing to do it, because a lot of the players, like LeBron, I don't think he's ever been in a dunk contest, even though he's probably better at dunking than almost anybody.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's one thing that's kind of a negative, is that even with the slam dunk contest, you're really only going against, like, second-tier players most of the time. Blake Griffin obviously was in, and I would say he's first tier. But, like, most of the time, you know, it's second-tier guys. Like, you had Jeremy Evans from the Jazz, who couldn't get on the floor hardly ever and isn't a very good basketball player comparative to everyone else in the NBA.
But he can dunk for days
because he can jump for days. Yeah. And so he's good at that, but he's also, it's like, he's not really the guy that you want to see. You want to see the guys who are kind of at the top, who are really good dunking, like, say, DeMar DeRozan and LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and, like, John Wall. Like, get those guys all to have a dunk contest against each other. Yeah. It would be a lot more exciting, I think.
Yeah. But, although speaking of All-Star Games, or at least the Home Run Derby, there is rumors, I've heard, that the MLB would consider Madison Bumgarner in the Home Run Derby.
That would be awesome.
I was reading that on ESPN.com, and they didn't name the source, but they said that they're somewhat interested in seeing if he could be in the Home Run Derby.
That'd be awesome. And that'd go back, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about on Friday about, you know, pitchers, you know, being able to hit is awesome, like, when they're able to hit. You got him. You also had Zach Greinke. There's another one that's good at hitting. I'm sad he left the Dodgers and now is playing with the Diamondbacks, but
he's not having a great year with the.
Yeah, I mean, he was just unstoppable last year, but he also hit a few home runs too, and Madison Bumgarner at the same time, like, has done that.
Yeah,
I think he's the only pitcher that's ever hit a home run off of Clayton Kershaw.
Oh wow.
And he's done it twice.
That's pretty sweet, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what I remember from reading about that. I think that was what it was, is that he's the only pitcher that's done it, and he's hit home run off him twice.
Yeah.
And to get a home run off of Kershaw doesn't happen very often.
Even if you hit well for, you know, on a regular basis. But, I mean,
like, getting a hit off of him is pretty good.
Because I think that's what makes it exciting, to if a pitcher can actually hit. Because I remember in, like, the 2003 National League Championship Series, you know, Cubs and Marlins, Game 7, Kerry Wood hit a home run, and the place went nuts. I mean, they lost the game, but the place went nuts. And so when a pitcher hits a home run, that's just insane.
Yeah, know? It's so cool. And that's why I think that they shouldn't have designated hitters, because just have the pitchers learn how to hit the ball. Like, when I'm playing MLB 2K11, I think is what it is. It's my brother's baseball game. It's kind of like, I mean, they don't really have a good baseball game on Xbox right now. I know that the show is pretty good, but it's PlayStation exclusive because I think it's done by Sony. But anyway, when I play that, I've got a couple different, like, my player modes where you get to, like, go through a career or whatever. And one of them, I'm a pitcher, and I throw, like, no hitters, and I shut out everyone. No one's got no run on me yet. I've had a few perfect games and stuff. I mean, if I really wanted to challenge myself and turn up, like, make it more competitive, I would make it more difficult, but I don't. But, like, I'm trying to make my pitcher so I can hit the ball. I've hit a couple home runs with him, but you don't get to go enough to be able to up your stats really fast. But yeah, and then also I have a catcher that I do, and I hit just, like, home runs every game. I think I set the record with 160 home runs or something.
Wow. Jeez.
it was a lot. I finally got a four home run game on there. It was pretty nice. Sweet. Because I'd get three, I've gotten three, like, several times, but I finally got four. About the cycles from time to time. That's pretty fun.
When I'm up for it.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, if I don't really, like, I usually just, like, hit for power and see, like, try to hit home runs or doubles or triples. But then, like, if I realize, like, if I've hit a home run and a triple and a double, I was just like, oh, I'll stop it first. If I have to.
Make it a clean cycle, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I'll get the full cycle. I'll hit a single. And my batting average is always over 500.
I'll go easy on my opponents.
Yeah, no, it's fun. Yeah, I really hope that they would. I really want them to make another baseball game, or someone to make a good baseball game for Xbox. So, like I said, they have a good one on PlayStation, but they don't have anything on Xbox right now. They made one just this year that was RBI baseball. It was kind of like one that they had made back in the day, but everything I saw about it looked like it wasn't very good. Like, it's kind of a low quality game.
Yeah.
Which would be all right if it wasn't on Xbox One. Like, if it was still back, even, I guess, Xbox 360, it could be like, all right. But it's kind of like Minecraft. I don't think I could ever get into it because the graphics just aren't worth anything. I mean, they're Someone's not supposed to be.
Painful to try and look at.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Like, when I'm playing NBA 2K16 and the graphics look like real life almost.
Yeah.
It's hard to want to go and play something that's really pixelated. Yeah. So yeah. I really wish that they had a really good, like, a baseball game on Xbox again, but they currently don't. Like, the newest one was, like, a few years ago on 360. So,
yeah, those games aren't as big as like the Maddens.
And they're that. Not, but I think that if they could find a way to make them big again, like, I think that would help with the whole, like, making baseball more popular again, and all that. Because baseball is fun to play. Like,
yeah.
Anyone that plays it, like, you know, it's fun to play.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's kind of not fun to watch, but I mean, for like a casual fan, sometimes it's not fun to watch.
Yeah.
If you really like baseball, you can like see all the different.
I think if you've got things. Good matchups,
yeah,
or any postseason game in person would be great. So, but
I've been to one game in person for the MLB. Yeah. It was the Royals were playing against the then they were the Devil Rays, but this is back in 2001 or 2002. I don't remember which it was. I think it was 2001. But yeah, I watched them, and had Mike Sweeney and Jermaine Dye were on the Royals, and they hit like 7 home runs that game, like the Royals did. And so it was fun.
Yeah, back when the Royals had all those guys they couldn't afford, like Johnny Damon and Beltre. And
yeah.
A bunch of guys they knew they could never keep around. You know, after their first contract was up. But.
Yeah. But it's good that they finally made it to the top because they were just terrible for years and years and years.
Yeah. Well, I think, showing how a smaller market team can compete, you know, which I think is cool to see, like, some of the smaller markets do really well. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, quick kind of recap of what's going on. So the NHL Stanley Cup is over.
Yep.
The Penguins won in six games, right?
Yes, six games. So
six games, like when you say six games, it always feels like it's a lot closer than it necessarily is.
Yeah.
Because like whenever I say six games, I'm like, oh, so I mean, they almost went to seven.
But
then I'm like, oh, yeah, so it was still 4-2.
Yeah, and I mean, that whole series, for pretty much a very little bit of that series, the Sharks were just trying to catch up to the Penguins. I mean,
not the way to win.
Yeah, and I think what the Penguins did really well mid-season was trading with Toronto Maple Leafs for Phil Kessel, you know, because he led the team in goals and points in the playoffs, and so I think they made a really good move.
But, yeah.
And obviously Sidney Crosby, you know, one of the best players in the game. And it was a good series, but I just think you spend too much time trying to catch up to the other team. You're just probably not going to seal the deal.
Yeah, I mean, so. You can't.
So.
You can't play catch up and expect to win.
Yeah.
Nate Larson just texted us and said, go Pens.
Yeah.
Because apparently he's a big Penguins fan since last week or something. I mean, maybe he was before that. I don't think he's actually said, because I talked about this the other day, too.
Yeah.
But he was definitely big into them for the last week or so.
Okay.
I didn't hear anything from him about them before that. But
so there might be some questions surrounding.
He might just be, you know, just saying that he picked a team that was, you know, I didn't hear anything from him until it was elimination time.
Oh, okay.
Like the first elimination game, then he's like, yeah, Penguins are going to win tonight. And so I don't know. Maybe he's a fan and just hasn't really talked about it. But maybe he's just saying it to say it.
It's like all these Golden State fans now. Like, apparently everybody's been a Golden State fan
for years. Oh, yeah. From the beginning. From the start.
I mean, although I will give it credit, though, the Golden State fandom, not – as annoying as the Miami Heat fandom when they got the big three. I will give them that. It's like...
since Mario.
Since Mario. Okay. That's been a while. That's been a while, so... But,
since Mario isn't Mario and Luigi, or...?
Lemieux. Mario Lemieux. Okay. One of their big players for a long time. But,
okay.
Could be Mario and Luigi. I mean, that...
That might even be longer.
That'd be a long time being a fan.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just funny when there's like all these Golden State fans that show up and like they're here in Utah and they're like, yeah, I'm a Golden State fan. It's like, since when?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've met one guy that I know for sure has been a Warriors fan from before all this. That's like the one... for sure person I know who's been following the Warriors since before Steph Curry, you know, before the uniform changes, you know, all that stuff. So
was it the Warriors or the Clippers that had Baron Davis?
I don't know. I'm stumped on that one.
I feel like it may have been the Clippers, but something's making me feel like he was on the Warriors at one point. Like, I just remember when the Warriors were, like, I don't know, irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was on the Warriors. And they barely made it to the playoffs. And it's like, yeah, they're always, like, kind of okay, but they're never great. And then, like, I remember when they were back like that. I'll never say that I was I guess he was on both, so.
Oh, okay.
He was on the Warriors and then the Clippers. But, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember it was a big deal when the Clippers finally made the playoffs. Can't remember how long ago it was.
That's embarrassing. He's now in the D League.
Jeez.
He's like 35 or something, 36.
Yeah, he's probably not coming back. I don't know how many
37, sorry. And yeah, he's playing in the D League? Like, yeah. Why would you go down to the D League? You could play somewhere foreign if you really still want to play.
Yeah, because... yeah, I don't know how many guys actually come out of the D-League.
Yeah, not many. It's very rare.
At least the European League, you'll get players who come over.
Well, I mean, he's not going to be able to make it back in the NBA, but no, if he wants to play somewhere, like, rather than the D-League, go play in Europe. But anyway, we're kind of out of time. This is fun. We're going to be back on Friday. So I guess we're going to do every Wednesday and Friday for the time being.
Yeah.
So... I want to thank everyone for listening. Happy hump day. It's hump day. Say what day it is. Guess what day it is. It's hump day. But, yeah, it's lots of fun. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Tune in again tomorrow. You get that. That's going to be Logan Jones and Tristan. I don't know what Tristan's last name is, but... they're going to be on here tomorrow. Want to thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.